This is the Kinky Cast Community Spotlight. This content is intended for adults. Community Spotlight is a monthly feature to bring kinky communities together. This month we feature Candy Cock in Oak Grove, Kentucky. It's all about the house party. Here's Woody.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. On the line with me is Candy Cock from Clarksville. How are you, man?
I'm fine, and I'm actually near Fort Campbell, Kentucky, in a little town called Oak Grove.
Oak Grove, Kentucky. You're right up on the line on I-24 up there.
Yes, I am.
Some people aren't sure if Fort Campbell's in Kentucky or Tennessee.
Well, it's in both. Most of it's in Tennessee, but it's actually Kentucky because the post office is in Kentucky.
See, it's just confusing, you know?
I know.
You go by Candy Cock, and there's got to be a story there.
Well, I had to call it something, and I saw a movie a long time ago that was about the guy who was on the Gong Show. I don't remember his name, but the story opened when he was a kid, and he was trying to convince a little girl that his dick tasted like strawberry candy. And that kind of stuck with me, so I just took that play and made it Candy Cock.
If I would have known I could say to a girl that it tastes like strawberry candy, I know I would have been less virgin a long time ago.
Well, you know, and I always follow up is with the statement that I can prove that it tastes like candy, but nobody takes me up on that.
So. Oh, well, you know, yeah. Here, just taste. Yeah.
Exactly.
You have come to the cast. There's a story behind this. Sinister Minister from back in episode 30, which was 5 years ago, said that you have kind of taken over the house parties up in that area in the southern western Kentucky.
Well, I've taken it over, but I've supplemented what we already had. And we didn't have a whole lot at that time.
Tell me about the house party scene. How big are they and how often are they, sort of thing?
Well, the ones I have at my place, when we first started having them, it was an after party after a munch. And I believe on our first one, we had maybe 20 to 25 people. And that was a little bit over 3 years ago. And we've grown to the point now where for RSVPs, we normally have 75 to 85 people that RSVPs. However, I can't support that number. So what I do is I put a limit of 60 people, and then I hope 15 of them don't show up. So that gets me down around 45 to 50 people.
That's a lot of people in a house, in a private house.
It is. Fortunately, I have a pretty good size back porch. It's 10 by 30. So that gives me another 300 square feet of play space, you know, and I have to block it off from view and add some heat out there sometimes. But it does give me additional playroom.
And the neighbors must be intrigued.
The neighbor across the street, he's really my only neighbor that I have that's close. And he thought that I was a cocaine dealer. And it's because of a person that showed up at his house, mistaken it for my house, and he asked if that was Candyland. Of course, it wasn't. So he thought I was a cocaine dealer. And at his mother's funeral, believe it or not, he said he wanted to come to one of my parties. And at that point in time, I had to explain to him it wasn't really the kind of party that most people, you know, have in the neighborhood. Besides him, nobody else knows or cares.
I had some people for one of the local organizations. They wanted to use my house for the party. And when on the invitations, they put my neighbor's address across the street.
Yeah, that could be problematic.
We finally had to get somebody out to direct traffic and say, no, not there, over here.
Yeah.
They were going, what? Wow, what's going on? Why are all these people dressed so strange?
And why wasn't I invited?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so house parties can be interesting. First off, they are kind of an intimate thing because space is limited, and especially when you have 45 people bouncing around inside a house.
Yeah, it can get crowded, but what I do is I have a big open floor plan and kind of push all the furniture for the living room back against the wall. And then everything in the den, I kind of move it against another wall and take two bedrooms. And sometimes I'll completely empty one bedroom out and take the bed apart, everything out of the room to make play space. Even the kitchen becomes a play space. We'll put a massage table or something in there, or somebody go against the counter and do a violent wand scene. So it tends to work out. And then, of course, when it's summertime or warmer weather, then go out on the porch. And I also have a shed in the backyard that I call the bondage barn, and I'll open that up for play. So we manage. It gets tight, but it works out pretty well, I think.
What I've noticed about house parties is they are, when there's there may be a public play space in a bigger city, but when you start to get more than an hour outside of town, house parties really start to pop up. And I've been to some around Florida and they are a lot of fun.
Well, I like to think that ours is. Now, we're really only about 45, 50 minutes away from the mark in Nashville, so we do have a pretty good play space available down there. And also, there's another guy called the Gnome Master who runs parties, and he has a large garage with a lot of outside space, so there's play space available there. So there are some other places around, but for some reason, it seems people like to come to Candyland, and I appreciate them.
Candyland has some magic going on.
I suppose so. My typical people are local within about 30 miles or so, but I have people come all the way from Evansville and Paducah, which is 90 miles or so away, all the way to the east. They come from Bowling Green, which is about another hour and 45 minutes. I have them from Murray, Kentucky, about an hour away. So, and even from Nashville, I get people to come up, you know, from Nashville, Murfreesboro. So I draw them from a pretty good radius.
You certainly do. Yeah, we'll have to put that on the things to do this summer list.
Well, come on up.
So how often do you have these parties?
Okay, I have my parties at least every other month. Sometimes they're, you know, consecutive months, and every once in a while I'll do two a month. That's kind of a rare thing. My wife is not kinky at all, but she's kink tolerant, so she allows me to do my thing, and it works out pretty well for us.
Kink tolerant? The big events like this at your house? Holy mackerel. She must be a saint.
Well, she kind of is. She sat through the very first party we had, and she sat right up front and watched people get beaten and poked and prodded. She watched a girl beaten with a car antenna. And after it was all done, she says, nope, it's not for me. And now when there's a party, she either goes to a hotel and spends the night, or she locks herself in a bedroom so nobody gets her. Yeah, she tolerates it pretty well.
So would you describe yourself as Polly?
Not in the sense of the word that you would think. I do have a girlfriend. She's been my girlfriend for 10 years, and she's collared and owned and all that good stuff. And the funny story is, she is actually my ex-girlfriend's husband's ex-girlfriend. But that's from back in the swinging days, and you'd have to draw a map to really figure it out.
Yeah, that, not confusing at all, right?
Yeah, but basically, when we were swinging, I had a girlfriend, and my girlfriend had a husband, and my current girlfriend was my ex-girlfriend's. I've lost myself already. But anyway, it works. And I've had her now for 10 years, and she comes down for all the parties, and she's the co-hostess, so it works out pretty good for us. But as far as the poly thing, we've completely gotten away from swinging. Every once in a while, we'll invite a guy in as sort of a stunt cock and give her a nice threesome or something like that. And she enjoys the dick, so it works out good for her.
Well, it's a win-win situation.
Yes, it is.
Recently, we met down in Atlanta at Frolicon. You came by and you dropped off a bag of candy cocks, little
yes.
Colorful cock-shaped, cock and ball-shaped candy. You're quite a marketeer, I have to say that.
Well, I try to get the word out. We have T-shirts and we have coffee mugs, and we have candy, and I have calling cards, and we've got some other things in the works for later on. We're getting ready to have a cookout in June, and I want to get some extra prizes because we're going to have a couple games, so I want to kind of get some things out there with Candyland name on it. You know, people like to win stuff and have stuff, so it works out good for me, and it works out good for them.
It sure sounds like a good time. How many PlayStations do you get set up around the house?
In the den, there's two. And then in the living room, there's two. And if somebody wants to play in the kitchen, that's an additional space. And I have two bedrooms. That one of them, I usually leave the bed all set up and everything in case somebody wants to take a nap or whatever.
Whatever.
And then the other bedroom, I'll empty everything out, and it can be used for anything from wrestling to bondage, you know, rope bondage, a massage table. A lot of fire play happens in there. So, you know, that's what? 2, 4, 5, 6, 7 potential play spaces in the house, plus on the porch, you can get another one or two going. And then out in the shed during warm weather, you know, I have St. Andrew's Cross, a little bit of room to swing a flogger out there. So, you know, there's another potential play space.
In these play spaces, do you have like spanking benches and things like that?
I do have a spanking bench. I have St. Andrew's Cross, massage table, a massage chair, and then everything else, I have people to bring things, and we improvise and make plenty of space. Now, there aren't usually that many scenes going on all at once. I mean, normally 3 or 4 at a time, and then everybody else is kind of sitting around and laughing and joking and being the good cheering section that they are.
House parties are a lot more social than public play spaces.
Yeah, I found that's true. I mean, there's some nights where it's like nobody wants to play at all. You have 30 people sitting around talking and socializing, and it'll take an hour before anybody gets a flogger out. And you kind of wonder, well, is it going to start or, what's up? But it always does kick off. And once it starts rolling, other people get involved. And I think it's a good thing. People can meet and greet and get to know each other a little bit better and then beat on each other.
So do you have many exhibitionists up in that area?
I do. I have a few that usually within 10 minutes of being in the door, they've got their clothes off, and I appreciate them very much.
Party starters.
I don't know if I can call out names, but Pocahontas123, if you're out there listening, she considers everything foreplay. So everything that she does throughout the night is leading up to putting on a show in the middle of the living room floor. And I really
Okay.
appreciate that.
Absolutely. Well, this is what it takes to get the chemistry and a group of people that are regulars that want to come to things like this, and they really do make it happen.
Well, they do. And, we have parties, but we also have a lot of classes out there. We'll do 101 and 201 classes. And, we've done everything from basic impact, fire play, needle play. We've even had a local Fetleberty, Rope Tiger Daddy, who I think a lot of people seem to love and appreciate. He's done a rope scene for us for a demo.
We know him from the cast.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He lives about an hour and a half away from us, maybe a little bit less. And appreciate them coming out. But I mean, we do parties, we do classes. We're having a cookout coming up, like I said, in June. And the first 2 hours is strictly going to be a cookout. And then after that, there's going to be an after party. Stuff out there, try to get people out and involved.
So what time would the cookout start? Is that like an afternoon thing?
Yeah, the cookout's going to go from 6 to 8. Then the actual after party will kick off about 8 o'clock. Normally, the parties run till about 3 or 3:30 before finally people are gone and I can clean up the mess before the wife comes home.
I've thrown house parties in the past, and it's a lot of work for a host.
Kind of is. The big thing is getting everything cleaned up because, you don't have a house party for a month and nobody comes over. Things tend to pile up and get dusty. So you got to clean. And also, I don't have really anybody bring anything. I usually provide all the drinks and the snacks. And if it's like the cookout, nobody's got to bring anything but themselves. So free food, free drinks, free good times. And it works out pretty well that way. Now, sometimes we'll have like a masquerade party or the Halloween party. It'll be more like a potluck. But for the most part, I do everything and get everything ready. And Tallulah Blue, she comes down and helps me. That's my girlfriend. And we get it all set up and just wait for people to show. But I enjoy doing it.
That is very generous to treat the community so well. I'm very impressed.
I'm treating the community, but I'm also treating myself because I love it. I love having the people over. I love watching them do what they do. Even if they don't do anything, I just love to have the environment that's going on and everybody's having a good time laughing, joking. And I don't know, I just like doing it. And I'm going to do it as long as I can.
Well, sir, it has been a pleasure talking to you, and it was a pleasure meeting you at Frolicon. I certainly look forward to the upcoming parties.
All right, we look forward to having you guys up here. Thank you.
Join us next month for more focus on clubs, play spaces, and munches in your area.